You'd like to turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says 1 Samuel 1 and 2, but we'll only be looking at a few verses in chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Going to look at part of the life of Hannah this morning, and I'm going to look at it in four parts. Part one is Hannah had feelings. Hannah knew where to go to get help. Hannah desired the best for her children, and Hannah followed through on her commitment. So that's where we're going this morning. There is a fair amount of reading involved, so I won't read through the chapter first. I'll just read it as is necessary. And again, if I mispronounce any of the names, I just apologize in advance, because there's a few names in here. So let's look at the first point. Hannah had feelings. So we're going to read from verse 1 of 1 Samuel. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth Am Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zophar, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. So we start the journey this morning seeing that Elkanah was a practicing member of the tribe of Ephraim. He practiced his religion. He obeyed God, and every year he went off to Shiloh to sacrifice unto the Lord God. Aren't we blessed? We just have to come to church, not to sacrifice, but to have fellowship. And we can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ anywhere. We're not required to make that annual journey to offer sacrifice and to give over offerings. So we find that this man, once a year, each member of the tribes of Israel were required to go and to make sacrifice and to bring an offering. And this man was obedient to this command. And he went with all his family, and he went year by year. Verse 4 says, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and to her daughters portions. So we know that this wife had sons and daughters. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, we're not told whether this was a deliberate provoking, or it just happened from day to day, or when they were going up to make this sacrifice. But obviously, the fact that this other wife and her children went, and Hannah went by herself. And so we know that she had feelings. It says that they provoked her sore. They made her to fret. And then we find in verse 7, and as she did so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So obviously these feelings that Hannah had were very real to her. And obviously this persecution, or whatever we want to call it, was very real to her. What we might describe it as picking on, or bullying even, or ignoring someone because they're different, or because they appear weak or unusual. And I'm trusting that no one here in the congregation fits this picture. I don't remember much about my childhood, particularly in the church, but we had a reunion with some of the members of the church that I went to when I was a child, and someone addressed me as Little Peter Roberts. And that struck with me. I thought, why would you call me Little Peter Roberts? And so I kind of got the impression that maybe I was picked on. Maybe I was seen as being inferior or something. But something happened. I don't remember it, so it sort of went over my head. But when they just said Little Peter Roberts, I thought, okay. There's something going on there that I've just missed. But it's very easy, isn't it, to ignore someone that perhaps doesn't. You think that was funny?
I went over your head because you're small.
Ah. Very good. Can we take that out of the message? Okay, refocus. It's very easy, isn't it, to ignore someone that doesn't look the same or appear the same. Or it's very easy to pick on a younger child or someone because perhaps they're a little different to what we would expect them to be. But Hannah had feelings, and they were being inflamed by the other wife and her children. Verse 8 says, "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved?" And then he says, "Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" So obviously he was aware of the problem. And he was trying to support his other wife, but obviously with no real effect. So we all have feelings, and as church members and Christians, we should live our lives aware that other people have feelings. And we shouldn't join with others to pick on others or ignore others. Hannah had feelings. So the second point is, Hannah knew where to go for help. And verse 9 says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord." It's interesting that Eli's sons were there, and they're just mentioned. And now we're told that Eli was there, and he was leaning, he was sitting on a seat, sort of just leaning back in the temple of the Lord. And verse 10 says, "And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore." Hannah knew where to go to get the help that she believed she needed. There was only one person that could help. It's interesting to note that she went to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. She didn't ask the Lord to help her at her home. She didn't gather some people around and ask them to pray with her, because the custom was that you would go to where the Lord was. You know, we're privileged today because the Spirit of God dwells in us by faith, and we can come into the presence of the Lord anytime, anywhere. We don't have to wait a year to go to visit the Lord. We don't have to go, as it were, to Jerusalem, which a lot of people do go to take their petitions to the Lord. We're privileged because the Spirit of God dwells in us by faith, and we can come into the presence of the Lord anytime, anywhere. Verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a male child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. This was a genuine request. I don't know that this method of asking the Lord for children is the same for everybody, but she knew that the Lord God could help her. And children are a heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127:3 says, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And so Hannah knew that she didn't have any heritage of the Lord, and she wanted to have that. And obviously she was correct in what she wanted, because God answered her prayer. You know, our children are lent to us by the Lord for as long as he wills. Think about that. Our children are lent to us as long as they live. Sorry, by the Lord for as long as he wills. Now, I remember when my sister passed away, my mother made the statement, it's a shame that the children pass on before the parents. And I thought, well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, children, parents die, children bury them, and we move on. But 100 years ago, that wasn't the case. 100 years ago, lots of children would just pass on. And I'm sure that those Christian families then had to realize that their children were lent to them by the Lord. Today, it seems different, but that they're still lent to us from the Lord. Let's go back to verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord. She knew who he was. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She comes in sad. She comes in distressed. She hasn't eaten. She goes out with a positive countenance and she's eating. Question. Why did this change suddenly happen? What? No, that's not a question that you've got to answer. I'll answer it. But why did this change? Why did this happen like that, instantly? What could provoke a reaction that would change you that fast? Well, Hannah knew that her prayer or petition had already been granted. She knew right then that God would give her a son. She knew that that prayer had been answered. And that's faith, isn't it? In the promise of a living God. That's faith. So Hannah desired the best for her children. So we're reading again in verse 19, and they arose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." So if you are named Samuel, it's because I have asked him of the Lord. That's what it means. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. So a year has progressed. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, "Do what seemeth good to thee good. Tarry thou until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. That must have been a shock to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee praying unto the Lord." Now, we're not told how many years this was later, but perhaps 6 or 7, something like that. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord." I wonder if we as parents lend our children to the Lord. I remember when both of our children were born, Pastor Wenham came around to our house and he prayed for them and consecrated them, as it were, to God. And I thought that was rather an unusual thing at the time, but he was right. Our children are lent to us, to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there. She lent him to the Lord for as long as he was going to live. And of course, we know of Samuel. We know many of the things that he accomplished and did, and therefore this thing was obviously of God. As I said earlier, children are lent by the Lord to us as long as we live, as long as they live. Now, Hannah did what was best for her children. Hannah did what was best for her children. She realized that children are a heritage of the Lord. She raised Samuel till he could fend for himself. she kept her promise to God, and then she provided for Samuel, which we'll see in a few minutes. Each year, she would provide for Samuel each year as they came to worship the Lord. So Hannah followed through on her commitment. That's the final point. Hannah followed through on her commitment. And we're reading verses 2:18 to 21. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat. I'm sure if you're a mother and you're a seamstress and you sew, you would understand what went into that little coat. And brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So Hannah followed through on her commitment. She committed to the Lord that if God gave her a son, she would give him back for as long as he lives. And then she made preparation for this child. And she raised him up and took him over. And then every year, must have been a very long year at the beginning, but I'm sure as it got closer to the time of going, she would be excited about making another little coat and coming to Shiloh and making that. Could you imagine how that would change her life? She's going to see her son. She was going to see what the Lord had done in his life and in his heart. And then it says, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now, he was in a very awkward position because the other two sons of Eli were not following the Lord. We can read about that. But obviously, God had his hand on this child, and Samuel grew before the Lord. So where does that leave us? What sort of conclusion can we come to? What sort of application can we make from this woman who obviously poured her heart out to the Lord and then the Lord granted her request? We know that Hannah had feelings. We know that Hannah knew where to go to get help. We know that Hannah desired the best for her children. We know that Hannah followed through on her commitment. We need to be, this is in conclusion, we need to be aware of people's feelings and not go out of our way to hurt or to bully people. And that's easy to do, I can assure you of that. But we need, as a church, as a Christian family, to be looking after everyone that comes. Hannah knew where to get help. She went to God. She poured out her heart to the Lord. She knew. She trusted the living God. She trusted the God of Israel. We don't need to go to a place of worship to get help from God. We can go directly to God with our problems. We are such a privileged nation, not nation, such a privileged church age that we don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go to a place. We just need to let God know what's happening. We just need to ask him to solve or to be there or to help us with all of those things. We can go directly to God with our problems. We can trust the living God just like Hannah trusted her living God. Hannah desired the best for her children. She made a coat every year and took it to Samuel. Now, we would have to say she'd have to make a wardrobe, because most of us have a wardrobe at home. We don't just have a coat. But in those days, they certainly carried a lot less with them. And so we're told that she made him a little coat. I'm sure that coat got bigger every year. She desired the best for her children. Can you imagine the excitement that went through the family as the time came to make the yearly sacrifice? Hannah followed through on her commitment. She gave away her son. I can't imagine what that would have been like. I couldn't imagine giving my son over to Pastor Wenham and saying, here, you take him and look after him and he's here to serve the Lord. But this is an unusual situation. And God had set this up so that he could be glorified, so that he could provide a person to lead Israel. And so she gave away her son. It was part of God's plan. But she still had to follow through on it. I wonder if we've ever made a commitment to the Lord and then reneged on it, not followed through. We need to be careful what promises we make and commitments we make to the Lord. But if we make one, should we follow through on it? The Lord gave Hannah other children after Samuel was given to the Lord. It says three sons and two daughters. Did God really need to do that? What I'm trying to say is, God doesn't honour people because they give to him. In other words, the more I give, the more I'll be honoured. It doesn't work that way. It's an individual thing. But in this case, God gave three other sons and two daughters to this woman. God didn't need to do this, but in this case, it was part of his grace towards Hannah. We need to respect Hannah. She identified a problem. She went to the Lord God. She gave as she promised and got the blessing of God on her life and on her son's life. Thank you.